I do appreciate the help of the musicians this morning as we have sung these hymns to the Lord. We're going to Romans chapter 12, and perhaps, God willing, we will be finished with Romans chapter 12 in the month of September. So I think there are two more messages to come from Romans chapter 12. These are very needful, very pertinent messages for our hearts, for our practice in these days. Great instruction from the Almighty. So we are beginning our reading today toward the end of the chapter of Romans chapter 12, way down at verse 17. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Let us hear the word of the living God. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. We conclude our reading at the close of this chapter, and we trust that God the Holy Spirit, who breathed these very words through the apostle so long ago, that this most holy and heavenly instruction will be received by each of us this day, that we may glorify God thereby. We're looking at two verses today, and that is verse 17 and 18. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In World War II, the German general Erwin Rommel knew that unless he could capture the little island of Malta in the Mediterranean, that he would eventually lose his hold on the northern part of the continent of Africa. So the German and the Italian air forces carried out 3,000 bombing missions in a period of 2 years on that little island of Malta. For there were dug in the British troops. There was present the British Navy as well as the British Air Force. And during those danger-filled nights and days on Malta, a young private in a Scottish Highland regiment came to know Christ. His sergeant and the men in his regiment gave him a very hard time. They mocked him. They did everything they could do to discourage him in regard to his newly found faith in the Lord. But God gave him grace to stand true to the Lord, no matter how his sergeant and all the men in the regiment made fun of him. One night the young private came in tired and cold and wet from sentry duty, but before he climbed into his bunk, he knelt down and he prayed silently. The sergeant therefore took his boots and struck the young private on the head while he was praying. But the young man acted as though nothing had happened, and he continued his silent prayer. The next morning, The sergeant found his own boots, beautifully polished, and left beside his bed. That was the private's response to the wicked blow that he'd received on his head. It broke the sergeant's heart, and he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ that very morning. This is what Paul is driving at in these verses in Romans chapter 12. Many people will not listen to our words, but they will have a hard time failing to read our responses. It is our reactions that Paul is dealing with here by the Spirit. How will we react when we are wronged, or even believe that we are wronged? Here in these two verses, verses 17 and 18, I would call upon you to see with me three things. Number one, paying gracefully. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Paying back, yes. We do have to pay back. We do have to respond in one way or another. But let us pay gracefully. Secondly, let us plan beautifully. You say, where on earth did you get that, preacher? I think you will see. And then thirdly, living peacefully. In verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So first of all, let us consider paying gracefully. In verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. You know, ever since our first father fell into enmity with God, somehow all of us, as Adam's descendants, have found ourselves having a very proficient aptitude for being enemies of each other. And you think about that. Ever since our first father fell into enmity with God, all of his descendants have proven to be rather proficient for being enemies of each other. This is very natural, a very natural aptitude. We've seen it carried on from one generation to another generation. As parents, and now as grandparents, many of us still see it. One little child hits the other child, and immediately the second child strikes back. The natural sinful reflex action, recompensing evil for evil. I know two of my grandsons demonstrated that just a few days ago. Even though they're not in the same household, they demonstrated that particular response to each other. Well, thankfully, most adults don't instantly come to blows as the children do, but the sharp tongues can quickly enter the duel and do much hurt and lasting damage. Payback time. So many people say, I don't get mad, I just get even. But this is what God says. Don't do it. Recompense to no one evil for evil. Never meet hate with hatred. Although revenge is sweet to fallen human flesh and to corrupted blood, let us obey God. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Remember our Lord, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. You remember? And this is the very thing of the next point. A little forerunner of the next point. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter was so ready to take off an ear, and the mob had come to take Jesus? Jesus did something which was so beautiful. He took that ear that was cut off. He immediately put it back on and healed it. Those people that were coming to take him and to beat him and mock him and spit upon him and crucify him. Wow. So let us, instead of recompensing evil for evil, let us pay gracefully as the young Scottish private did for his sergeant and as our Lord Jesus Christ did. You know that what that Scottish private did won a hardened soul to Christ. Secondly, let us not only pay gracefully, but let us plan beautifully. Notice there at the last part of verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. This is exactly the meaning of these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. But that's a totally different context. We have to interpret the very words of Scripture within the immediate context. What comes immediately before and what comes immediately after dictates how the words should be translated. All right. In 2 Corinthians 8:21, it is a perfect translation. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. In that context, in 2 Corinthians 8, Paul is addressing the honest handling of the offering money, money given by God's people to be used for God's purpose and for nothing else. But here, the context dictates how we are to react to provocations from people and from circumstances. And what is the context? Right before, don't retaliate by repaying evil for evil. And then look what comes right after this in verse 18. Live peaceably with others if at all possible. So the preacher is going to confess that I agree with the Reformed commentators, both ancient and modern, on this. The interpreters call for the literal meaning of the two major Greek words that begin this statement in Romans 12 and verse 17, the second part, provide things honest. Now, the key is the two words, provide honest. Okay. Now, what it actually is saying, the Greek words, I'm going to give you the meaning of them, but the meaning of those words demand this translation, plan ahead to do something beautiful to those that do you wrong. Plan ahead to do something beautiful. And that's exact translation. Plan ahead something beautiful. Okay, I'm going to give you this. The word translated honest literally means something outwardly and obviously beautiful. This is the word used of Queen Esther. She was beautiful. It also is used of other lovely ladies in the Holy Scriptures. Now then the word provide literally means think ahead or plan ahead. Now here we go. Those are the two key words in dealing with others. Right here at the end of verse 18. Verse 17. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. I say that we are to plan ahead beautiful things in the sight of all men. The meaning is thus very clear. Instead of paying back someone evil for evil, think ahead and always be thinking of something good and beautiful to do in response to being treated wickedly. I have seen this work over the years. I was glad to hear what Brother Tim said the other day, that he has invited those who have told him that they hate him, whether they're in the legal or political world, to simply go out and eat it with him at his expense. Well, at least they won't say they hate him anymore, even though they probably do. But we have a very scriptural demand from our Savior to do such things. If you look back at Luke's Gospel chapter 14, Jesus is telling us the same thing. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 12, Jesus says here, you see the red letter words of Jesus, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. Well, you can be sure that those who hate us are not going to invite us out to eat like we did them. Verse 13, but when thou makest the feast, call the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So it's really good. Plan ahead something beautiful for those who do you wrong. The young Scottish private did exactly this by making the sergeant's boots shine beautifully. Because of our sinful tendencies, we must plan ahead. We must be studying the Bible, and we must be getting plans about what we're going to do when we meet these trying situations. Did you know we live in a fallen world? And you can expect offenses. Our Lord Jesus said, offenses must come. Now, we must plan ahead what we're going to do in response according to the Scriptures. We must study the Scriptures. We must learn scriptural principles. You can't just wing it and figure out you will do it on the spot. Because what will happen? Your emotions will take over and control the situation and your response, and it will always go in the wrong direction and not be pretty. Don't think you'll just be led by the Lord in a moment of crisis in what to do. No. Now here I quote Jay Adams. As Jay Adams said, God didn't take hundreds of years to produce us a book of instructions on how we are to respond just then, to leave that alone and just zap us instantaneously with some supposed leading of the Spirit. These are Adam's words. He went on to say, the word led, L-E-D, referring to the Holy Spirit, only occurs twice in the New Testament, and neither time does it refer to guidance. What are we to be led by? We are to be led by the solid truth of Holy Scripture. Sola Scriptura. We are not to follow our fallible feelings, but rather the infallible Word of God. By the careful study of God's Word, our lives are to be guided in a solid, concrete, biblical way. By His Word, we are to respond beautifully to those who hurt us. Plan beautiful things. We have looked at paying gracefully, recompense to no man evil for evil. We have looked a little at planning beautifully. Literally, plan ahead things beautiful. And I believe Jesus did that. I believe long before that mob got to the garden, there's no doubt in my mind, He who saw Nathanael miles away sitting under the tree and knowing what kind of man he was, knew that Malchus was going to bring his ears into the garden that night, and Peter was going to whack one off. And the Savior had already planned something beautiful to do in response. So finally, we have living peacefully. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We are to be peacemakers. That's what we're called to do in a troubled world. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Toward the end of the New Testament, in Hebrews 12, in verse 14, he says, follow peace with all men. That word for follow doesn't mean to be behind them. It means to be pursuing them. I guess you would be behind them, but don't just follow way back there. Pursue peace with all men. In order to be a peacemaker, you first have to be at peace within. What does the Bible say about the wicked? Or like the troubled sea when it cannot rest? And you can be sure, down there in the Caribbean and part of the Atlantic right now, the water's churning up all kinds of corruption that's down in the bottom of the ocean. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose water churn up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So we, in order to be peacemakers, we have to have a real sense of peace with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are at peace with God by faith in Christ, then the peace of God can have dominion in your heart and life. Colossians 3:15, the command is, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And let us remember Proverbs 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. But in our text, verse 18, it says, if it be possible. So what is the intimation God is giving us from those words? There are some people on earth that you cannot have peace with. There are some people that will not regard any peace. I agree with Martin Luther. I agree with him and the reformers. We cannot be at peace with the Pope and with the Roman Catholic system and doctrine. Now, whoa. I can, on a personal level, coexist with Roman Catholics. I do have some friends, and I have some relatives that are Roman Catholics, and I pray for them, and I can actually sit down and eat a meal with them civilly, and we don't get in a fight or an argument. Isn't that amazing? This old man. Well, but as Martin Lloyd-Jones said, we cannot all just come together to worship God together, ignoring doctrine for peace at any price. Lloyd-Jones says, we cannot compromise the teachings of God's Word and act like those teachings are unimportant. We are to endeavor to live in peace. We are to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. We are to adorn the doctrines of God's Word with holy, beautiful lives. We are to work at living peaceably with all men. We are to let the light of the gospel shine through our lives that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5. I read at the beginning today the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 5. And there's where we will close today. Jesus' words regarding our response to those who hurt us or those who hate us. Beginning at verse 43 of Matthew chapter 5. Right here in that great Sermon on the Mount. People profess to live by it. Very good thing to live by. Verse 43, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. I'm glad the Lord Jesus put it that way. He didn't say it's written. He said it hath been said. This is the spin that the Hebrew rabbis put on it. Hate your enemies. No. What did Jesus say? Verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. That's common grace, what he does. But he does a lot more than that. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. You know, our Lord Jesus didn't just tell us this. He showed us this. Our Lord Jesus set us a better example than even the Scottish private did. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, we read, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Oh, what love for his enemies. We were all his enemies by wicked works. And oh, what love for us. He prayed for us when he hung in his most excruciating agonies on the cross, what was on his mind? He was still praying for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How beautiful. In the midst of our Savior's keenest sufferings, what he had planned, he did. Something beautiful for us. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for thy holy word. We rejoice that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Lord, we pray that thou wilt cause each of us to remember that by nature we were the most heinous enemies of God, putting ourselves up even as a false deity. But Lord, we praise thee for thy great love to thy enemies. Instead of destroying us, burning us, and having done with us forever, we praise thee that thou didst devise this most wise and precious way of salvation for sinners. Lord, we pray that thou wilt therefore, because of the great mercies of God, we pray that thou wilt give us grace to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, that we be not conformed to this dying, wicked world. But Lord, give us grace that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the Holy Scriptures. Oh God, teach us to plan ahead for the conflicts, for they must most certainly come. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us to be faithful in this, which is our logical and our reasonable service. Oh God, we pray that the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit would abide with us. Because life on this planet is very short. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt give us grace to live for thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.